Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we investigate the book of 2 Timothy and discover powerful truths about mentorship from a father-to-son perspective. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. So glad that you could join us again. Don't take it for granted that you are part of our listening audience. And I know that so many of you have communicated over the months. We're well into just a few days ago. We had our 500th episode. That's hard to believe. And some of you have been with us right from the beginning. And that just means the world to me. If you would do me a favor, if you could, and that is take a moment and leave a review. I know that sounds like a little bit like that self-serving, and I really don't say it in that spirit. I say it because the review and the comment that you make on the review will drive listenership. And honestly, as the Lord knows my heart, my goal is just to get as many people listening to the Bible every day as possible. So if you would be willing to do that and share it with a friend, that would be huge. And so I appreciate that in advance. We are in verse 19 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, getting down toward the end of this chapter. I love verse 19, where the Bible says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." And the foundation of God here refers to the law of God, the Torah, standeth sure, having this seal: "The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So we've been talking about false teachers and vain babblings and the way by which the word of God sometimes is mishandled. And if we're not careful, Caleb, at times we can look at the amount of error that's being spewed and the number of churches that are just kind of not centered on the Bible anymore. And we can kind of throw our hands up and say, you know, Christianity's lost. And the truth, where is the truth anymore?
Yeah.
And Paul is very quick to remind Timothy that, yeah, while the building might look like it's falling apart, the foundation, the truth of God is unshakable.
Yeah, and it's, as you read God's word, you see that he uses the analogy of a building a lot, and Christ is always that foundation. And so and Christ, you know, he promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against it, that his word, his church, is going to live on. And Timothy might be discouraged after reading some about what Paul is going through and seeing what's going on in the world. But you know, God knows, and God is still there. God hasn't moved, and he's still going to continue his church and his purpose.
And he specifically refers to the unchanging foundation of God and his word to encourage the preacher of God's word. So it's a very relational promise he's giving, because he says, you know, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And this is actually a reference back to Numbers 16, when Korah rebelled against Moses and challenged his leadership and the leadership of Aaron. And God validated his leaders, his called ones, those that were following and representing his word. So the Lord knows them that are his. So Timothy, I know sometimes it can be discouraging because it seems as if falsehood and the proponents of falsehood are more numerous and more popular than the tellers of truth. But Timothy, here's a foundational thought for you. God knows them that are his.
Wow.
You know, God knows you. Yeah. And you might feel like you're obscure and you're yesterday's news, but God's got it figured out. And remember who's saying this? Paul. And he's in a pit in the ground, yeah, and the executioner's axe is about to sever his head. And so this was not just something Paul was teaching. It was something, a truth he was living.
Yeah, what a comforting thought. It's just, hey, I know that you might be discouraged, or you might be fearful even, or thinking the end is near, but understand that God's word is a timeless truth, and God's word will stand sure. And so you just keep the word of God that you have, that you're instructing to others, or you're teaching others, that I just told you to be a student of, that is going to live on forever. And so that's the foundation you can rest upon. And just the way he puts it, that God knows those who are his. What an amazing thing that God of the universe, he knows who are his. He knows who's preaching his word. He knows who's faithful to him. He knows. And it's just an incredible comfort in that time.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I know them. Do you know the Lord? Yeah, that's important. But much more comforting is the Lord knows me. And so keep that in mind, Christian preacher. Keep that in mind, faithful Christian, that regardless of what seems to be the tidal wave of error all about us, God knows exactly who you are and where you are. Sure, there's a passive side of this foundation, but then there's an active side, a part in which I participate, where the Bible says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So people that truly know Christ, and people that truly follow him and his word, you're going to see the indication of that in their departure from iniquity and their fidelity to the truth that they claim to believe. So the Lord knows his own, and his own are going to be willing to own him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love how you said that. I was thinking the same thing. It's not only are we his, but he is ours too. We belong to each other. And so if we are God's and he is ours, then we should live in such a way that reflects that we identify with him. And so he said, hey, you know, if you're going to be a Christian, you know, you have to depart from iniquity. And it's towards holiness. It's towards Christ-likeness.
And it's such a great reminder about where our confidence comes from in the Christian life. And that is, as we're captured by the reality of the fact that he identifies with me, he claims me as his own. He's not ashamed to call me. Christ is not ashamed to call me his brother, his own. So when we realize that he loves me enough to identify with me in all of my sinfulness, in my shame upon that cross, then it becomes the impetus and the motivation by which I'm not ashamed to identify with him. So Paul said, it's that love of Christ that constrains me. I'm willing to identify with him because he died for me.
Yeah.
And that's all I need to know. So I want to live for him. It's the same rationale.
Yeah, it's as if what Christ has done for us is not enough. Despite everything we've done, he still claims us. And that should be our biggest motivation and a comfort and peace.
So in verse 19, the Apostle Paul uses the metaphor of a foundation. And in verses 20 and 21, really even into 22, because it's applicational, he uses the metaphor of a great house, a big, huge house. Today, we'd picture a palace. So the Bible says in verse 20, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, from the dishonorable vessels, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So the illustration here, Caleb, is that of this huge house. And in this huge house, you have all kinds of vessels. And a vessel would describe something that would hold something,
yep.
Hold liquid typically. So you could have a fine china. You could have a golden goblet. You could have a silver tray. But then you might also have an ashtray. Yeah. You might also have a clay pot used for garbage, refuse. Mm. So are they both vessels? Yeah. But one has a very noble, honorable use, and another one has a dishonorable use. So what the Lord tells us here is we have a choice in this matter. You know, in practical sanctification, we can choose. So what is my body? Well, the Apostle Paul used the illustration to the Corinthians. It's a vessel. And I want my vessel, my body, to be sanctified, meet, usable, suitable for God's use. So I need to purge myself from dishonorable uses. I'd be careful about what I put in, right?
Yeah.
This is very practical.
It is.
What do I put in my life? Do I put in the Word of God? Do I what do I allow in my eye gate, mm-hmm. my ear gate? What comes into my life? Because that's what's going to fill my heart. That's going to be what conditions my thinking and ultimately my behavior, my habits, and what kind of vessel I am.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it doesn't get much more practical than that. It's it's the famous saying, garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you put into yourself, I mean, you see it from your health to your attitude. It's what you put into yourself is ultimately going to be is going to outpour in some way. And that's why, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what's in my heart is eventually going to come out one way or another. And so we have a choice, like you said. And he just got done saying God knows who's his. And he challenged him to study God's word. And he said, at the end of the day, you have a choice. Are you going to allow God to use you for honor? Or are you going to, you know, be this vessel that just allows it to be filled with whatever you feel like?
Some of the metaphors begin to kind of meld together when you think about be filled with the Spirit. So I want the vessel of my life to be full of God's control. It's not that I have any more of the Holy Spirit today than I did the moment I was saved. Right. I have all of him, but does he have all of me?
Yeah.
And so to be filled with the Spirit is metaphoric for being controlled by the Spirit of God. I think about that verse in the Proverbs that says, keep thy heart. The word keep in the Old English means to guard. So guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So how do we guard our heart? We guard our heart by guarding what comes into our thinking, comes into what emotionally moves me. You know, what am I going to dwell upon? Why? Because like you said, Caleb, what you allow in that settles in, that becomes the way that you think, becomes not only what you think, but the way you think, that is what you're going to say. That's what you're going to do. Those are the priorities you're going to have. And ultimately, it's going to reflect what is in your vessel. Yeah. So I think Paul points out some very practical things to empty out of our vessel. So verse 22, he says, flee also youthful lusts. So Timothy, you make sure that you are empty in your life of the kinds of desires and fulfillments that other young men want. You know, so today we would say, hey, guard your devices.
Yeah.
You know, make sure that you don't get hooked on pornography. Learn how to guard your eyes. Get some covenant eyes on your devices. Get some accountability in your life. So guard your vessel, you know, flee youthful lust. And then the Bible says in verse 22, but follow after. In other words, fill your life with righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So again, it all comes together. Timothy, make sure that your mind, your attention, it comes back to seeking the Word of God, because that's where you find these things. It really just makes sense as an illustration, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And it's just, and like you said before in an earlier verse, it's not rocket science. Sometimes we overcomplicate things, and here Paul is just saying, hey, what you allow in is ultimately going to affect all the facets of your life. So, you know, you've got to be careful what you choose to allow in, because, you know, out of that flow the issues of life.
So a vessel in a home is just a tool. The master wants to put some hors d'oeuvres on that plate. He wants to put some water in that goblet. Whatever he, you know, we want to do, Lord, I'm willing to be used in whatever way you want to use me. Hmm. And the Bible says that when we are that vessel of honor, when we're clean, when we're available, that's what vessel you use. You use vessels. And if I want a cup of coffee, you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for a coffee mug that's clean and available. And when I'm clean and available, then I'm prepared for whatever the master wants to do with me.
That's good.
So listen, my friends, give that some thought today. It is the word of God that cleans us. It is the Spirit of God that makes us ready for his use. Be available to the Lord today. Live a life of personal holiness. Deal with that besetting sin in your life. Culture righteousness and faith and peace, and let God use you the way he would use a vessel, and just see how God can bless your life. You will be amazed. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Appreciate you joining us. Looking forward to our next episode. We'll finish up chapter 2. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.